Dr. Drew is terrific. I listen to his podcasts. I've heard him on many, many shows, The Stern Show and others. Works out in Los Angeles on one of our sister stations. Wanted to draw on his expertise this morning regarding what I thought was a clear indication that we were watching a sociopath yesterday with O.J. Simpson, who, according to him, nothing bad has ever happened in his life.
I've always thought I've been pretty good with people, and I've basically spent a conflict-free life.
And we've gone through a lot of this audio from the parole hearing in Nevada. He'll get out on October 1st. 9 years is appropriate for that crime. But we went through the classic symptoms of being a sociopath, and this guy exhibits, if not all of them, most of them, in my mind.
So you believe that the property was yours?
It's been ruled legally by the state of California that it was my property, and they've given it to me.
Dr. Drew, welcome back to Double the Oz. The appropriateness of having this guy paroled set aside for a moment. What did you think of his overall demeanor and his mental health?
Hey, before I answer you guys, I just want to say thank you for having me, and you've given me some real cred. My program director, Drew Hayes, an old Chicago radio guy, was very excited I was joining you guys today, so thank you.
Tell Drew I apologize for losing my temper with him a number of years ago.
I will do that, but he seems to have lost no respect and enthusiasm for your station and your program, so I'm happy to be here.
Some of the traits John exhibited that day were sociopath.
Evidently, so let's go through that. Let's go through that process.
That was
evaluating
something.
John and O.J. Simpson.
Tell Drew we said hi.
I will do that. But yeah, you know, it's hard to know. Of course, we don't know this man. I don't know him, but I understand what you're reacting to, and of course, he's sort of performing up there. So even in his performance. You know, I spoke to some attorneys that had spoken to him the day before. They're trying to coach him up. And the day before, they said, oh, no, he's going to apologize, fall on his sword. But when the day is done, O.J. does whatever O.J. wants to do. And I thought, well, that's a telling statement. At the very minimum, we have sort of a grandiose narcissist on our hand. Whether or not it's actually a sociopathy, it's hard to tell. Again, some people argue that there's sort of no difference between the two, though the others do. Certainly, sociopathy is a more severe form of narcissism in the sense that other people's feelings don't matter. People are there just for my needs for a sociopath. They're just sort of objects for my manipulation. And that sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? The other thing is the extreme inability to take responsibility, blaming, rationalizing, sort of really distorting the past. And again, how much of that is performance? I don't know. But it was a little unsettling to see somebody seem so, again, arrogant in the face of trying to face reality. Unfortunately, I think people are sort of exercised about this because the legal system was just going along its perfunctory business, and his personality or his attitudes don't really matter. I mean, this is not the criminal justice system is not a spiritual advisor. You know, it's not a program of recovery unless you go and seek it. And so, you know, their goal is not to rehabilitate this guy's personality so much as his behavior. Now, as it pertains to his behavior, we will see. I'll predict within 1 to 3 years we're going to see some pretty unpleasant consequences here.
So you think he's just destined to get back into trouble again?
Well, one of the things, to me, you know, there are a few tells in what he said. I mean, there are some very concrete things you can look at and go, okay, well, that's trouble. One was that they wanted him to go to 12-step meetings. And when they asked him why he didn't go, he said, well, I had to set up a softball game for the guys. You know, I'm being a model citizen. What do you expect me to do, work on myself? I'm fine. And I thought, oh, well, that's a tell. Because that means if they had sufficient concerns about his substance use, that they really wanted him to do that, and he had no insight and no willingness, that will recur. And when somebody has a narcissistic-type disorder and then returns to their substance use, that's when things progress and escalate. And whether or not they're sociopathic tendencies, they certainly can look sociopathic once they start using. And let's think about the world he's entering now. There was no Twitter. The laws against sexual misconduct and harassment have tightened down tremendously. He's going to go about his merry way and going to end up in real trouble very fast.
Yeah. Talking to Dr. Drew, he's out in Los Angeles. He's joining us on quick notice here. Wanted to turn our attention to Chester Bennington, who I know is a personal friend of yours, the lead singer for Linkin Park, who committed suicide yesterday. We were discussing depression earlier on the program. And Ray brought up the point, I just want to reiterate it here, that here's a guy who had the world's his oyster. He's a rock and roll star. The pressures of his life, to a lot of us, would seem to be very minimal, and yet, much like his friend Chris Cornell, they commit suicide. Why?
Well, I mean, the why is that mental illness knows no sort of distinction for whom it attacks. He had a long history of substance use, and he was in and out of trouble with that, and that already is a risk factor for suicide. Being middle-aged, having previous depression, had childhood trauma, all that is a risk factor for suicidality. Now, it's what happened to him, we don't know. There's still some suspicious circumstances around his death, but it does seem to be a suicide. And it's not that far-fetched. Depression is a potentially fatal illness. Drug and alcohol use is a potentially fatal illness, and people just forget that. One of the symptoms of both conditions is self-harm. That's just a feature of the disorder, regardless of the psychology of the circumstance. So the psychology sort of bears no impact. It's really a brain state that people get into, and one of the symptoms of that brain state is self-harm, and it passes. It's an opportunity to remind people, please never make assumptions if somebody's thinking about self-harm, or you are yourself. Get help. The feelings always pass. That's why we hold people for 3 days when they become suicidal, and you can't let a fleeting, awful feeling become the source of a permanent tragedy.
What do you say to, kids? It seems to me that we seem to have... younger children and kids that get medicated. Everything is anxiety riddled these days. How do you get it across to somebody that this is not the only way out? There's people that think that it's a predetermined deal, that if you have mental illness, that this might be hardwired and this is the only way out. Does it always have to be that way?
Well, I'm not sure what's behind your question, except to say that the feeling itself is that it's never going to end. That's sort of the quality of the feeling, and that's what makes people make these irrational choices. It's almost a psychotic state sometimes they get into. It's some people that are suicidal just want the pain to end. They literally can't tolerate the pain in that moment, and they want it to stop. But you're sort of hidden in your question is an issue about over-medication, and, for sure I'm with you on that. And teaching young people to tolerate distress and to build grit and to tolerate disappointment. We have failed a whole generation on that one, building up their self-esteem, and that's been an abject failure.
Well, Dr. Drew, we're sorry for your loss. I know Chester was a buddy of yours.
He was.
We urge
good
all
guy.
Listeners to go to drdrew.com. Please tell Drew Hayes we say hello.
And we'll do so. I have no choice. He's going to want to hear all about it.
We apologize.
I apologize for my rave out years ago, although many people, I must say, at this station to this day thank me for that.
Well, I was going to say, he's an easy guy to, sort of cause you to flip your switch.
Well, I felt he was disrespecting me a little bit, right? A little bit?
You know what? He had it coming.
A little bit, yeah. So.
Well, I'm not going to tell him that part of this conversation.
Tell him I hope it's healed up. So anyway.
We appreciate your time, pal.
Thanks, Dr. Drew. Have a good day. That's Dr. Drew joining us here on WLS.